jump in real quick here. Before we start, I want to do a couple things. I want to remind you all, in the beginning, I urged people to go slowly, that this was very much profiling a miniature 9/11 event of some kind. Don't jump to conclusions. Give it time, because the reality of it will become more clearly focused. That first picture showing a beam coming straight down, it went around the world. Tens of millions of people saw it. So that's the beam that started the dew, that started the Lahaina Maui catastrophe. It was a fraud photo. It was a photo of a Vandenberg missile launch in time-lapsed photography, which made a straight white line up. And if you look at the damn landscape, it's obviously not Maui. The hills were different. So it was kind of a twilight time launch. Anyhow, that made the whole dew thing, electronic warfare, EMF issue look laughable. Maybe that was released intentionally to do that. That's kind of like a false flag picture. Anyhow, it's possible. Now here, I'm going to play just 90 seconds. I'm going to bring Dick on here. He's listening. So let's bring this. This is Fish, a fixture in Maui at the scene there. And he's going to talk about all the cars that were blocked full of people that couldn't get out. This is a big story. Much more ahead on this one.
I went around back to Front Street, and there was all the cars were lined up, but none of them were moving. And I walked all the way from Safeway to the Chart House. Not one car had moved. And I was wondering what was stopping the traffic. Well, it was a policeman. And I got to the end, and I looked up north. There were no obstructions. There was no reason to keep those cars there.
Are you serious?
I'm serious as a heart attack. And I said, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm under orders to keep them here. And I said, the fire is right around Safeway. It's going to hit Front Street. You know, these people got to get out of here. And he said, I'm following orders.
No way.
And I keep walking down the highway, and I look behind. No cars are coming out. I walked all the way to Waikuli Beach, still no cars coming out. And I started hearing boom, boom, boom. And then I heard people screaming and stuff.
You're saying they were blockaded in by the police at the end of Front Street?
Yeah.
Like where the restaurant is?
Right, where the Chart House was.
Where the Chart House was, I should
right.
say. There was a blockade there, and they could not go any further.
Right. I walked,
what the hell?
I walked all the way from Safeway to there. Not one car had moved. But all the way to, like I said, the Civic Center. And then I started hearing all the explosions, and there was no one walking behind me or on bicycles or anything. And I just...
Dude, that is unbelievable.
I had no idea, you know, until the next day when I walked down there to what had happened. I just, oh my.
So did you go up north to your place?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you just hunkered down for the night?
Yeah.
And then...
Okay, that's the story. One of countless stories that remains to be sorted out. If he is correct, and I, on the basis of what I see here, the man's telling the truth. We're talking about mass murder here. This is a burnt offering, satanic genocide of some kind. The arson involved? Probably. The power lines certainly were down. They were part of the cause of the fire. But if you know anything about forest fires, and Dick Allgaier does, and I do, having been through many, many of them, that run on the hot winds. Wherever the hot winds start blowing, 80, 90 miles an hour, you can always expect arson. And that's how most fires are started anymore, most of the bad ones. There are arsonists, professionals that go around throwing out little incendiary devices upwind, so to speak, of a fire scene, and there they go. There can be natural causes, of course, but there's too much arson going on now. These things are designed to kill and destroy. Hello, Dick, and welcome back. Thanks for being here. And Dick Allgaier has been a news professional in Hawaii 38 years, an anchorman, a news reporter. He's the best person to talk to at this point in time about the miniature, I'll call it a miniature, a mini 9/11. Welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. And when that guy on the video was talking about walking from the Safeway to the Chart House, I've been there many times. I was just there in April, March, mm-hmm. April.
Yeah.
I've been to Lahaina a lot. I've I've cried every day when I see this. I love Hawaii and I love Hawaiian people so much. And this is really hard. You were right about burnt offerings. So there's a lot to go over. I have a lot of data points. So we'll spend a little time on this. Biden was here today. People were swearing at him. I saw a little bit of coverage. The local news will be on in an hour. I'll go look at it when we're done. It's five o'clock here in the islands, so it'll be on the 6 o'clock news. But yeah, Biden left another vacation. That guy takes more vacations than anyone I've ever
40% of the time he's been allegedly president, he's been on vacation or back home.
Okay. So here's an important data point. You know, there's a gentleman that I talk to and you talk to that doesn't speak in public. He speaks only in private, that has a lot of good knowledge. He's the one that told me in summer of 2019, when I was going to Alaska with my family, he said, Dick, enjoy the trip, because next year you won't be able to travel. Travel will be restricted, will be locked down. And I went, what? He said, yeah, we're going to be locked down. And I said, oh, how? Why? And he said, well, I can't tell you, but just enjoy your trip, because this is the last time you'll do it for a while.
Dick, I remember that, and you had a wonderful time, and we talked about it on the program, and those days are virtually gone now. Gone.
Well, right. At that same time, another thing he told me was watch for fires. They will use fires as a way to displace populations. Yeah. The use of the fire, he explained to me, would be you burn a place out, and then the insurance companies won't insure that place, so people will be priced out, and the prime land will go to rich people. Which is probably what's going to happen on Maui. So,
see, the insurance aspect of this is key to understanding how they are going to move masses of people. They'll keep, if you live in a rural area and they want to clear that area, they'll just double or triple your rates, and most people can't handle it. It's not a joke. My insurance is $2,000 a year, $2,100 a year. If they double or triple that, I'm in trouble. That's just insurance. Yeah. That's not property tax. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and if you want to, they literally redrew the map. I mean, they're showing it on the news. They have the map of Lahaina before, and now the map is just, there's a whole swath where it's just erased. So, yeah. Okay, where to start here? One other thing.
Well, hold on, please. Real quick. One other thing. There was a lot of grassland that had not been mowed or contained or anything, all upslope. Yeah. And whenever I, as a news reporter back in the day, television news, we had a fire. They were always in Santa Barbara, primarily, 650 homes, 875 homes, burned. I saw a lot of strange things. I saw houses burned to the ground, and I saw a house next door untouched. I saw trees left untouched. I saw a lot of things. But that was 30 years ago or more, and this is different. What's going on now is different. I just want people to understand that. We're in a different fire technology. Go ahead, please.
I've covered a lot of fires. I ran for my life in a brush fire in Hawaii out in Waianae one time. The cameraman and I inaccessible place, and the cameraman said, we got to go get the shot, man. We got to get you've got to get the tight shot of the flames with the firefighters right there, and he wanted to flame it a certain way. So we were going up dirt roads and basically impassable roads in a news car, like a Subaru, and the wind shifted, and it started coming. and we were like, ah, get out of here. Mm-hmm.
We were, I hear you. I know.
We were surrounded and we got out. But okay, so I've covered fires. I've covered fires where a plane crashed and burned, and I saw the charred bodies, which were still recognizable as a human. I don't want to get too gross, but it was, you could see the arms and the legs. It was charred.
Right.
I've seen people pulled out of house fires. I've seen brush fires, forest fires. When you're a news guy, you cover fires.
We see it all.
Never remember. What I'm hearing is the victims over there, a lot of them have turned to ash, like we're cremated.
Uh-huh.
Like there is nothing but ash left. Now, how hot does it have to be? Is that a brush fire? Is that a house fire that does that? I have no frame of reference or no competence to comment on directed energy weapons. I know that a couple of those shots were faked. So
here's a helpful, real quick thumbnail. A grass fire achieves temperatures of about 300 degrees. Grass fire. You know, whether it's a foot tall or 6 inches tall, a grass fire. 300 degrees. A brush fire or a wildfire tops out at about 1,450 degrees. Tops out. Wildfire, forest fire. That's about it. You know how much it takes to burn and melt automobile glass? 2,500 degrees. So where is that heat coming from?
Go ahead. I'm seeing cars on Front Street, and if you look at the, I should have pulled one and sent it to you. There are cars that have molten metal that has liquefied.
9/11. Kind of still, remember the cars blocks away? They all melted.
Yeah.
They weren't even near the fire.
These have silvery pools that look almost like not quite mercury, but they're, I assume they're hardened.
Melted aluminum.
Now,
I've seen it many times.
Melted aluminum. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what that was. So that was a hot fire. Now, I have sources that know people that were in the emergency meetings. And one of the topics that they were discussing was, how are we going to keep the media away from this story and mitigate the bad news? So I think they know damn well how many people are dead, and they're saying, well, we've got to identify them and positively identify. So it's like four a day. Like, oh, there's 93. Oh, there's 104. Oh, it's 111 or 114. But there are 850 people missing. Now, the area that burned around Lahaina is not large. It's you could drive around it in 5-10 minutes. I could walk the perimeter in probably a couple of hours. So, and it's contained to that area, and there's only, they know how many people are missing. They can account for them all already. It's not like, I heard one idiot on the news today on Fox News. There's a show, The Five, Harold, he's the liberal from Tennessee, and he said, well, there are people that need to be rescued. Because they're like, what was the word he used? He used some absurd. I mean, no, there's nobody there that's still like trapped in an area where they're going to go rescue them.
No, it's recovery now. It's not rescue.
Yeah, it's recovery. So, and it's mostly old people and children, because the schools were closed. The parents had to work. They left the children at home.
God, horrible.
So I think it's probably another 850.
They have refrigerated huge trailers there, tractor trailers, huge.
Yeah.
Nine that I counted in one drone shot, nine refrigerated trailers. These are 40-foot trailers, I'm sure.
Now, having covered politics and emergency management people, all the bureaucrats in Hawaii, Jeff, I moved here in 85 from Salt Lake City, so I was a reporter at that time in Utah. And in the mid-80s, back then, you had phone books. So you'd get the phone book.
It's true.
And the front part would be federal government numbers, and then there would be a second section that was state government at the front of the phone book, and then it would be residents. So I got to Hawaii, and I was a reporter, and I had to call somebody at the Department of Land and Natural Resources or the whatever. And so I went in the phone book, and I looked at state government, and it was page after page after page after page. I couldn't believe how big the state government was here after Utah. It was like, how can there be so many phone numbers in state government? It's this huge overloaded bureaucracy. So many people work for the state. And a lot of them are not the brightest bulbs. We have this guy, Kerman Andaya. He was the Maui Emergency Management Agency official who didn't ring the sirens.
I saw him in a video making his plea, his statement. Yes.
Typical dim-witted Hawaii bureaucrat who's, you know, given a position with no qualifications, doesn't know what he's doing.
Just for our listeners, real quick, Dick, what the guy said for the reason he didn't sound the sirens, he said, well, they were just designed for terrorism and tsunamis. That's what he said.
Yeah. Well,
what a moron.
We have this incredibly robust siren system in Hawaii that they test once a month. The first day of the month at 11:45, the sirens go off and you can hear them all over the island. They're everywhere. I've heard them go off for tsunamis. I heard them go off. They had them when they shot the missile at Hawaii, the missile alert.
Yes.
I was sitting home. I was right here at my computer doing something like checking email 9:30 in the morning. And I hear, I go, why are the civil defense sirens going off? It's not the first of the month. What is it? It's not the right time. And the first thing I did instinctively was I went to my front room, to the what we call a lanai, the balcony. And I walked out of the balcony. I looked around. What's happening? That's when you hear the civil defense sirens, you either tune in or you naturally you look outside. What is there, a storm? Is there a they would have seen the flame.
Right. Yeah.
So they would have saved lives. So that guy has been resigned for health reasons.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Mental
and then
health
there was
reasons.
The other guy. Did you hear the other guy, Kaleo Manuel? Kaleo Manuel. He looks like he's about 20, or he looks like he's in college or high school. And he's he's just totally woke. He was in charge of moving the water, like releasing the water from upcountry. In Hawaii, it rains every day. Rains every day, the mountains get water, and they have a system where they can release it into reservoirs, release it for farming use. And this guy was in charge of what water got moved where, and he's a total wokester. I should call him up.
Right.
You just hear him talk.
Facts
he talks
are facts.
About,
it's okay.
He starts talking about, well, water needs to be treated with, we need to think of equity when we talk of water. Water doesn't necessarily need to be used. You know, we need to have equity. It's just total woke nonsense. And there was a lawsuit by the Sierra Club and the climate crazies where a liberal judge here ruled in their favor and they weren't releasing water from upcountry Maui on the east side to the west side, which is drier. So there was no water to fight the fires. And this guy, Kaleo Manuel, has been, reassigned. He's been given a new job, so he won't lose his. Guy should probably be prosecuted, but a real idiot, a young guy, just woke. So that's what runs our government is these.
Well, there are grounds to prosecute the guy about not turning the sirens on, for God's sakes. Come on, this is his job, the emergency director. Oh, there are going to be a lot of lawsuits in this. Just like 9/11, you watch. Lots of lawsuits for years.
Well, one of the big lawsuits is going to be Hawaiian Electric. Because, and this goes back to the climate nonsense, the climate crazies have pressured Hawaiian Electric to gear down. You know, you can't transmit electricity that you make with fossil fuels. By the way, it's not fossil fuels, but they call it fossil fuels. Like they didn't upgrade the lines. They didn't maintain the areas. You've got to clear the underbrush because you have electrical wires that can cause fires. They neglected that because the money to use that was diverted toward renewable energy. Like, we need to build some more windmills.
Uh-huh. Right. Right.
Clever so stuff. Hawaiian Electric Hawaiian Electric will get sued God. This is what happened in California when they had those fires there a few years ago. PG&E got sued, and guess who pays that? They declared bankruptcy and reorganization, and they had to up their rates. So electric rates go up like by 20%. So that's what's going to happen in Hawaii is you'll be paying more to pay off the lawsuit.
Wow. You wait. Just give this a month, 3-4 more weeks, and watch where the focus begins to come together on. There'll be numbers of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I told you that the mayor and the emergency management people and all the officials were having meetings on how do we keep the news media away from this and how do we, you know, limit the reporting. The cell phone service has been down. So the whole area of Maui was closed off. People couldn't go in there and there was no cell phone service. So now I heard today that Verizon is restoring the coverage. So local people that are there are going to be making videos, and I don't know if they'll be able to stop the transmission, you know, make an iPhone video. Here I am. What I'm hearing is that FEMA was doing such a lousy job that people were waiting in the hot sun 2 hours to get like any, you know, a jug of water and some ramen.
And then the police, you saw the police went in and shut down and ordered this free food relief station set up by the residents to go away. They shut it down. They wouldn't allow
free
food.
You can hear
them
on the bullhorn. We've been ordered to shut this down. You
That's
can't
right.
give out free food, disperse.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you'll see more of that. See, those videos are getting out now because the cell phone service is being restored. And then the police blocked the escape routes. You heard that's the guy you played at the beginning of the program. And there was another guy I saw on YouTube, an older guy with a hat, and he said, I was on Front Street and the cars weren't moving, so I got out of my car and I came down here. The police were turning people back into the fire. They said, well, I'm just following orders. The road's closed. You can't go through here.
Now, the cops should have been waving them through with both arms. Jeez, this is incredible.
But see,
here.
don't underestimate the stupidity of some of these people, because it, I mean, I'm trying to justify this in my own mind, and having been at fires and seeing the police, like it may have been the fire was one place. And so the lieutenant told the officer, you know, whoever was in charge, the captain said, okay, keep people away from here because the fire's there. When they come, route them this way. And then maybe the wind blew the fire to another place, and the guy at the roadblock didn't know that and was saying, no, I got orders. You're not supposed to go here. You got to go there. So it may have not been police intentionally forcing people into their horrid deaths by asphyxiation and burning to death. But yeah, I wouldn't underestimate the stupidity. It's bad. Oh, that police chief, I saw a report last week. I did a YouTube on this. Somebody said, well, that's the same police chief that was in charge of the shooting in Las Vegas.
Well, he was under Sheriff Joe Lombardo, and yes, one of the primary movers and shakers of the whole control of this event. Lombardo was the mouthpiece. He was always trying, when he was holding a news conference, right behind him would be this lurking FBI agent in a suit. And Lombardo was often obviously stressed, duressed. One time he almost lost it completely. And Gary Holland and I were watching these things, and Gary said that Lombardo, you know, has got to play it very carefully. I said, yeah, he'll be the next governor. And he is the governor now. They rewarded him. The whole cover-up of that Las Vegas massacre was despicable.
I got a text today from a retired FBI agent who told me, yeah, there were helicopters. They were shooting from helicopters.
Oh, Las Vegas? You bet. Yeah. There were shooters on the ground. I have pictures of shooters on the ground in two locations. They were on top of with the rock axe. They'll have an RV that they drive around. There were three guys on top of one of those, all in blackouts, all shooting right into the crowd from a height of 10 feet above them at the most. And then there was another one over on the Luxor, about four flights up. Anyhow, I don't want to get into it, but we covered that whole thing. Many shooters.
The guy that was in charge of that is now in charge of the Maui.
Yeah.
He's the police chief on Maui. And the mayor over there is a piece of work. Have you seen him? He looks like a thug.
Oh, they don't look like they belong there. They look completely out of place. Yeah.
Lahaina was such a jewel, Jeff. It was so many places in Hawaii have been taken over by corporations and rich people, and they put up the high rises. Lahaina, Front Street, that historic place is owned by Native Hawaiians, by local families that go back generations and generations, and they wouldn't sell out. So they kept it that small town feel, the historic feel, and now they're afraid to leave the area. What I'm hearing from people who know people that live there, the survivors are still in Lahaina, but they're up inland from the burned area, living 30 to a house with family and friends.
30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like 30 to a house. And they don't want to leave because they're afraid if they go, they won't get back in. And they're afraid their land is going to get stolen, which is historically what happens in Hawaii. You know, the thing is about the Hawaiian Islands is there's typically one road around the perimeter. I remember in 2006, we have one freeway in Honolulu, which is the H1 freeway. And by the way, the reason they built the freeways is for the military. That's when Eisenhower built freeways in the 50s. H1 freeway goes from Pearl Harbor to Diamond Head Crater, and Diamond Head Crater is the civil defense hub. The H2 freeway goes from Pearl Harbor to Kaneohe Marine Corps Air Station over the mountains. The H3 freeway goes from Pearl Harbor also to Kaneohe Marine Base, and the H2 freeway goes from Pearl Harbor to Schofield Barracks and Kunia, which is a top secret underground base. So all the freeways connect the military bases. That's the purpose for them. So anyway, we have this one freeway through town called H1. And one night in 2006, I was working, and a military truck was hauling something, and they didn't check how high their load was, and they clipped a pedestrian overpass over the freeway. And they looked, and they said, oh, man, this thing is damaged. It could fall. So they closed the H1 freeway at about, I think it was 1 in the afternoon. And the traffic was absolute standstill. There were people trapped on that one freeway for like 10 hours. And I remember I got sent out at about 3 in the afternoon. I did live shots at 6, a live shot at 10. And coming back, the freeway was still a parking lot. And I thought, this is a death trap. If anything happened, yeah, where people had to evacuate. So you have one road in and out of Lahaina. And it was blocked, and you saw the cars.
Do we know if many / most of those people in those cars died in place right there in that trap? I guess we have to think a lot of them may have.
Some of them got out and ran down the road. A number of them, Jeff, jumped in the ocean.
Yeah, I saw that.
I woke up the morning after the fire. I got up. You know how your web browser will give you targeted stories?
Yeah.
Like it'll say, Hawaii residents, how they beat the snow, you know, and it'll be a shot of a snowbound house in New Hampshire, but they'll give it a Hawaii headline because I'm in Hawaii, and I go, that's nothing to do, or they'll say, Hawaii residents, get there to do this, and it'll show a black family in Atlanta. I go, there's no family like that in Hawaii. So I get up and I see Hawaii residents forced to jump in the ocean to flee fire. And I went, oh, God, that's a pathetically bad. And then I clicked on it, and I started looking. I went, oh, my God, I think Lahaina burned. What happened overnight? So, yeah, I saw when they originally said the death toll was 6, there was a local guy over there that made it on to Twitter or YouTube or something. He was saying, you've got to send help. There's bodies in the water. There's people all over. There's hundreds dead. But the official toll was like, oh, 6. 6 known dead. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be 946, which on an island oh my God. And of course the governor's blaming climate change.
Well, watch for more of these high pressure, low pressure wind gradients. They'll crank up these hot, dry winds. In Southern California, they call them Santa Ana winds. They come from the east, northeast. In Europe, they call them Sirocos. And what's interesting about that is in Europe and Spain and I think France, in areas, they have two sets of laws. In the case of when the Sirocco winds are blowing over there, people don't act right, because the winds are full of either positive or negative ions, I can't remember which, and they overcharge the human body, and it messes up the cerebral cognitive functions. So they have two sets of punishments and two sets of laws. If the winds are blowing, one set takes over, and if they're not, then the other set takes over. So they're at least aware of the fact that those hot, dry winds can do weird things to people. But watch for more of those. I think they call them tunnel winds sometimes, but you're going to see more of those. I think they're coming.
Well, I did a segment last week where I said, I wish Biden wouldn't come. FEMA should step aside. All the federal agencies, just let local people in, and they will. There are people on Molokai, which is the island across from Maui, that live. A lot of them are pretty much subsistence. They're farmers and hunters and fishermen, not rich people, and they have a boat lift. They're gathering supplies because they won't let people into Lahaina. People have truckloads of water and food and clothing, they get turned back. They let them in, escorted a little bit. But the people on Molokai, they got in their boats and went over and drove up on shore, and they're you'll see tremendous outpourings of aloha. Hawaii right. is such a special place. And by the way, I had to learn this when I came here 40 years ago. The term Hawaiian refers only to people of Hawaiian blood. So if you say a Hawaiian man, you're saying a man who is of native Hawaiian, who has like 50%.
Genetically.
I'm not a Hawaiian. I've lived here 40 years. I would be a Hawaii man. And the Hawaiians have mixed their blood through intermarriage so much, like you'll have a Portuguese grandfather, a Hawaiian grandmother, and the son will be Portuguese Hawaiian who will marry Chinese Filipino. And so it's all mixed. They call it like chop suey. So it's referred to as local people. So you have local uh-huh. people who have mixed Asian and Hawaiian heritage. And local people really embody aloha. They're so sweet. If they have half a bowl of rice and you're in need, they'll give you half their bowl of rice. They're so sweet, so giving, so caring. It's just heartbreaking to see what's being done over there. It's really, really sad.
We covered that Las Vegas massacre, which was a whole lot more to that than anybody will ever know about. And here, those hot winds, this is 3 years ago, next month, began to blow in September, around the middle of the month. And I got up in the morning and these winds were blowing out of the east. Where the hell did this come from? We don't get that here. And I said, this seems like fire wind weather. And within an hour or two, a blaze was underway. You hardly heard about this nationally. It was almost covered up. When the day was done, and these are 50, 60, 70 mile an hour winds, over 3,300 homes and businesses were burned to the ground. And nobody heard about it.
Yeah.
Hardly anybody. And the other angle is I knew somebody who knew people in the county fire department, and you know how this works, but he had a friend in the fire investigator's office. They found at least a dozen ignition points where arsonists had set blazes.
Yeah.
To configure into one big raging wall, which is what happened. 3,300 homes and businesses gone. And it was supposed to take me out. But fortunately, the two efforts that were lit off, one didn't work, was right down the street from me, and the other one was half a mile away. It probably wouldn't have hit me. But they were trying to take all of Ashland, Talent, and Phoenix out and right into Medford. That was the plan. And I wonder about these winds, if they don't set them up in advance and then get the arsonists ready to go. I wonder.
Well, you saw them divert that one hurricane that was coming to Hawaii 3 years ago?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it's still on your homepage.
Now I found those pictures. That it's obvious. They just stomped on it. Yeah.
I did a remote viewing. Our site puts up predictions of the following month. So 3 weeks ago, I said, I see a big fire and I see a lot of people running and there's going to be a lot of casualties. And I drew that and we published it. I didn't know it was Maui. I didn't get, sometimes things close to home occur to me, but we did have that up as a,
you can find it, look under Dick's name and guests, and his new group is called Future Forecasting Group, and you'll want to go there too. I don't know if we have it connected to his name or not, but Future Forecasting Group.
Jeff, we have a, and I mentioned that gentleman told me about the fires. We have a source that does interviews with us, and we can only play them in private. So that's, we put that up. We put remote viewing work and financial analysis of cryptocurrencies. Those are the three things we offer. It's futureforecastinggroup.com, and we have a special where you can get a free 14-day trial. So you can go there, futureforecastinggroup.com, and sign in and get a 14-day trial. Just go listen. Go look at some of the remote viewing and listen to the conversations with friends samplers. Just go take that 14-day trial and listen to a few of those, you know, for an hour or two. And it'll at least be a free education for you. If you don't continue, just cancel and you don't get charged anything. But we think you'll probably sign up. I'm going to do another one of those conversations tomorrow. And we've got a really good new remote viewing coming. We did a double blind target where I worked it, Edward Reardon Naeem, a guy that used to work with us for HRBG named Derek, and a Romanian viewer named Dini. And we didn't know who the tasker was, so we worked it and we turned it in. And it was Daz was the tasker without us knowing him. And the target was Bob Lazar. We wanted to see if he really worked the S4. And damn, if we didn't draw UFOs and guys doing research on exotic technology. I'm sure you know who Richard Dolan is.
Sure.
He's been on got a hold many of times. Richard Dolan. Yeah. We presented our data to him. So he came on and we had a debrief on Zoom. So, okay, we're double blind. We worked this target, show what we drew. And we showed some stuff. And Richard Dolan looked at the first thing and he goes, wait. Are you telling me this was blind? And we go, yeah, that was double blind. And then we showed him the other thing and he's going, oh my God, I can't believe this. He was just flabbergasted. He goes, I didn't know anybody was this good at remote viewing. I said, yeah, we are. So that's coming out in about 2 weeks, I think, maybe end of 1st of September. We'll bring Daz on. We'll talk about it because it's an interesting project.
Good.
Bob
Lazar. So he can't. All right, just to cut the long story short. He was clearly there to some degree. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Well, the way Daz set up the target was, if Bob Lazar's story is true, the viewer will see him. And Edward drew this. There's this base out in the desert and a mountain, and it's real remote, and there's something flying over, and it's high. But the way the target was cued was, and I've never seen this done before, it's kind of an interesting experiment. I haven't exactly figured out. Daz cued it with an AB, like if then. If Lazar's story is true, the remote viewers will see the craft and tell the story. If it's all made up, the remote viewer will see the Buddha statue in Daz's backyard. And nobody drew the Buddha statue.
So. Interesting.
He was,
well,
yeah.
I wouldn't call it definitive, but it's very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting project.
The way
go
ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
The way the task was set up was unusual. That's an interesting
proposition. I've never done that before, and I'd want to. It's called ARV, associative remote viewing. If A, then you see this. Mm-hmm. If B, then you see this. But I know Glenn did something like that. That will be one to look at and study for a while. We're doing experimental stuff. We're trying to, you know, kick the doors off and see what happens.
Hey, here,
did you hear that guy?
Go ahead. Okay. Please. Go ahead.
I was going to jump over to that guy, Oliver Anthony, Richmond,
yeah,
north of Richmond.
Let me do this first. Hold on. I'm running out of iPad. I think I have enough. I have 3% left. I should be able to make it another 5 minutes. But if I drop off, Todd's going to call me. I think we'll be okay. Now,
if you drop off, I'll do a...
Yeah. Yeah, you
I'll
can
rant. I'll rant on. About cryptos. I can rant about cryptos for 10 minutes. No problem.
Is Future Forecasting Group going to allow people to hire remote viewers and give them a task?
We would like to, but we need to vet them very carefully. So we have had people contact us and had us. The problem is people would be like, is my husband cheating on me? Or where's my cat? What happened to my wedding ring? Or where's the missing?
No, I get it. You really got to screen the heck out of them. I understand.
Yeah, we got to screen.
But it is a possibility. So
we had someone offer us $250,000 to remote view something. And the people that act as our cutout, because we have to be double blind, said, no, we're not remote viewing that one. It was a very highly charged target, so they kept us away from it. So did you hear that song?
I'm aware of the song, yes.
Have you looked at, there are a gazillion YouTube videos with people reacting to it. So they have like British people react, liberals react, black people react, conservatives react, veterans react, musicians react. That guy is getting so much. He turned down $8 million from the music industry.
Well, he's smart. The next offer will be 20. So maybe he'll figure out that he can put the money to good, honorable use. It's not a sellout if you put the money to proper moral use. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay to make money. I mean, if you've got a skill, this world is, you know, you pay people for what they're worth.
Yeah.
So it really touched a nerve.
It did. People were ready for it. The funny thing about country western music is that the artists, like that gentleman, and I think all of them virtually, they don't actually speak like that. That country drawl is part of the music. They have a normal speaking voice, if you've heard them interviewed. And I guess it's an American art form of sorts, and unusual.
I'd like to hear that guy cover. Levon Helm of the band used to sing like, up on Cripple Creek, she sends me. He could sing that well because he's got that drawl. And he could sing like, hold in the Nazareth. Levon Helm, he was great.
Yeah, he could.
He was.
You're right. He could.
Levon Helm, the drummer, he died. There was a Robbie Robertson who just passed away. He really did a number
he could
on
cover,
Levon.
He could cover a number of songs with his style. He'll get to him. He'll get to him. He'll set up a foundation or something and help people in need somehow, and that's fine. I get it. $8 million's too cheap, though. That's a big hit.
Well,
it's a mega hit.
It's good to see that all the music, a lot of the music, there's been a bunch of songs that the woke people are trying to suppress, and they go to number one. I mean, they just take off number one. So
one of the hardest lessons of this whole woke thing is that it's easy for us, you and I, and those who are aware of the news media business, but how this whole perverted, aberrant behavior ever gained any traction. I don't. It's just, it shouldn't have. When we were young, it never would have. Never. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think the social engineering and the programming goes deep. You know? It really does. Pray for the people on Maui. Pray for the people over there. Those, they don't deserve that. Oh.
No.
They're so sweet. They're such wonderful people.
There's a lot going on. They are. No, nobody deserves tragedy.
Well, we'll keep following it.
Yeah. Thanks, Dick. That was really good. Thank you.
See you, Jeff. Bye-bye.
Okay, good night. All right, there we go. And I have 1% left on the meter, so we made it. Thank you for being here. We will be back tomorrow night on Tuesday. Talk to you then.